For several years, I was involved with youth ministry at the district and conference levels. I've taken youth on mission trips, to conferences, even to summer camp. If you've had teenagers in your family, you know that waking teens up in the morning can be one of the hardest things you will ever do. Now, some of our kids would wake up just fine. Jess Snover and I would trade elephant jokes as we stood getting our glasses of orange juice and bowls of cereal. Rachel Slade and Paul Sweet would be on time for breakfast, but you really couldn't talk to either one of them till they'd had a cup of coffee, and Rachel's had to have at least 3 packets of sugar in it. And then there was Dee. The first time I picked Dee up for a mission trip, his mother warned me, "You will have to wake him up more than once. You'll have to shout in his ear. You have to make sure he is sitting up and has his eyes open, because he can talk in his sleep and make you think he's awake and ready to go, and he is not." And she was right. Dee was a tough kid to wake up. Being awake, eyes opened, ears unstopped, is the challenge for Jesus' followers. In Scripture, sleep, as well as blindness and deafness, can refer to a physical state of being, but they can also be interpreted metaphorically. Being spiritually asleep, spiritually blind and deaf to the inbreaking of God's power and presence in the world through Jesus. A form of spiritual paralysis, if you will, a numbness. There is this quote mistakenly attributed to Edmund Burke and referenced by John F. Kennedy in an address in 1961. It says, "The only thing necessary for evil to triumph in the world is that good men do nothing." Those who believe evil is personified as the devil or the Satan would say that's exactly what the devil wants: for good people to become complacent and numb and allow themselves to fall asleep. Like our numbness as a nation to yet another school shooting. Anybody know how many mass shootings there have been in the U.S. so far in 2023? 131. We are 1/4 of the way through the year, not even 100 days in, and there have been more than 100 reported incidents where 2 or more people were injured or killed. More than 100 incidents. Not all of them took place in schools, and only some of them make our headlines. This week it was Nashville Covenant School in Tennessee, and it reminds us of Sandy Hook Elementary in Connecticut, and Marjorie Stoneman Douglas High School in Parkland, Florida, and Robb Elementary School in Uvalde, Texas, and Columbine High School in Littleton, Colorado. And for those who were in this area at the time, it may even remind you of that Good Friday in 2010, when Wesley Lippitt was shot on the streets of Cooperstown by a school classmate. So many. Too many. Too many, somebody said at Schuyler Lake this morning, and we become numb to it. We feel powerless, lulled by a feeling of futility or overwhelmed by too much feeling, and we fall asleep, spiritually asleep, just like Peter, James, and John. We don't see God present in the midst of our tragedy. We don't lay claim to the power God gives us to resist evil, injustice, and oppression in whatever forms they present themselves, and we don't believe that we can make any difference in the world. Have you ever noticed in this scene of the Garden of Gethsemane that when Jesus goes to pray, his disciples do not? In fact, gospel writer Mark tells us about 6 different occasions, including this one, when Jesus goes to pray, but he never shows us disciples at prayer. Just before they arrive in the garden, when Jesus tells them they will all fall away, desert him, deny him, Peter boldly promises, "Oh, even if they all fall away, I will not." We all know how that turns out for Peter. He can't stay awake in the garden. He will not stand by Jesus' side through his trial. An eager spirit, says Princeton Theological Seminary professor C. Clifton Black, is no match for human frailty starved of prayer. Bold words need support. Support for us who claim the name of Christian comes from God through prayer. And if we are truly following Jesus, prayer then must be linked to action. Youth pastor Mark Burroughs, who wrote the Children's Moments for our Lenten series this year, had a few words to say, and I wish I'd shared them at the beginning of this series, but it's very appropriate for me to tell you what he had to say today. You've noticed that the children's time has been very active. There have been motions to accompany the prayers and movements to go along with each gospel story. Burroughs was very deliberate about his plan, wanting to teach the children that prayer and action are linked. He explains in his letter that accompanies this series, "Thoughts and prayers has been in the public eye and under public scrutiny quite a bit lately. First things first, I have talked with countless people who have shared how blessed they felt to know others were praying for them. Thoughts and prayers can be powerful. To focus on the needs of someone other than yourself is to follow the way of Jesus. Remember, even on the cross, Jesus prayed for others. So praying for others sounds selfless and wonderful, right? But all too often, the phrase thoughts and prayers is said without any real belief. The person saying it might have a vague sense that it's something nice you're supposed to say during a challenging time, but there's no feeling of depth or authenticity behind it. And then again, even when someone says, my thoughts or prayers are with you and really means it, there are still those who will argue that what is needed most isn't more thoughts and prayers, but action. And I, Mark, suggest to you that it doesn't have to be either or. Prayer and action, says Pope Francis, must always be profoundly united. And so in his work throughout this series, Mark Burroughs encourages even the littlest ones to remember that prayer and action come together. Those of you with email access received from me this week the letter our Bishop Hector Burgos sent in response to the Nashville shooting. In it, Bishop Hector reminded us, as United Methodists, we are called to address gun violence in our communities through prayer, through engaging in courageous conversations, supporting those affected by gun violence, and partnering with law enforcement to help prevent gun violence. We must also advocate, individually and collectively, for laws that prevent or reduce gun violence. I want you to know today that I am committed to offering more than prayer. This is what I want to do, and I invite you to join with me. As an aspect of its Peace with Justice focus, our United Methodist Church Board of Church and Society outlines a gun violence prevention study and conversation for the congregation and the community. Later this month, I want to begin this conversation, and I hope that a lot of you will take part in it with me. And together, we will decide what more we might do, including ways to support those impacted by gun violence and advocating for policy changes. And there are many, many possible responses, including the response of bearing witness. The Quaker community says to bear witness is to not turn away, to see and to name the evil, to stand with the victims, to point to the abuse. We can do none of that until we commit that we will not give in to the temptation and we will not fall asleep. We will claim our power through prayer and connection with God. We will tap into the source of our strength so that we can turn from complacency to action. For the disciples, this dark night in the Garden of Gethsemane will lead to a dark day and a darker reality. The evil powers of the world at their worst will crucify their Lord and leader, Jesus. In Nashville, in Sandy Hook, in Parkland, Uvalde, and Columbine, and hundreds of other communities, they have already lived through their own dark days, as we look ahead through this darkness of Holy Week, and we anticipate the celebration of the empty tomb and the triumph of light and goodness and resurrection, let us also bear witness to what we believe, to a faith that says children must be protected and tells us that evil must be resisted, a faith that bids us not close our eyes or fall asleep and calls us to risk our reputations, to risk challenge and rejection, even to risk loss. Let us face the darkness and claim the light. Let us confess our faith in God, place our hope in Jesus, and put the power of the Holy Spirit to work in bringing God's kingdom on earth. Let us beat our swords into plowshares and our spears into pruning hooks. And yes, there's risk in doing this. And yes, it is tempting to choose not to. But what do we risk if we don't? Amen.